Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
The sixth match of the best of seven series for that AEW Trios title. So I'll start with you, Tommy. What did you think of that match last night?
Exciting. Again, added to this feud, started in the back, took it, if I could use an old school pun, took it to the extreme, did a lot of crazy ass maneuvers, dives off of balconies and stuff. And then I love when then it finally breaks out into the live audience. You hear that eruption for what they're seeing. And, you know, then the big ass dive off the top. I mean, there was so many big things happening, and then I enjoyed what happened at the end. One guy is trapped in a move, and you know, then Omega hits the one wing angel off of like the ramp through a table and gets the pin before his partner's gonna tap out. It added to some drama, added to some suspense, and the live audience, you get split how you're watching it, but at home you can see everything how it was, and the live audience liked it. The crowd again was one of the biggest stars of AEW, and they enjoyed it. I believe it was a new market for them, or they don't go there that much, but it was really, really, I enjoyed the show, but I really, really enjoyed the latest episode or series of these matches.
I agree. And the one thing, though, I would take away, and I thought the match delivered, and Bully, I want to get your take on what you thought of the match from last night. I think we all knew this was going to go to the seventh match. I mean, even though there was a little bit of drama, and obviously, Tommy, as you said, the ending of that match, there was a lot of drama and a little bit of controversy. I think we all knew at the end of the day this was going seven.
Well, we knew it because they announced what the seventh match stipulation would be. Once they did that, they painted themselves in a corner. I wouldn't personally have done that, but besides all that, we've had some exciting, amazing matches, and I get it when you want to use it as a promotional tool, but, you know, to say if it goes, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that it will go, and it is.
Yeah. Bully, what did you think overall?
Agree with both of you guys about an exciting match last night. Dave, I think me and you spoke about halfway through the show. We were texting, or we might even been on the phone, and I said it's just a good wrestling show so far, because the front end of the show was just good wrestling matches in the middle of the ring. Things were going really well. And then we get this giant car crash. I always say that there is definitely room on a 2-hour show or a 3-hour show for a match like that, because a wrestling show should be like a giant buffet. There should be a variety of everything. And those six guys have been tearing it down, doing a great job. I like the split screen for the finish. I love the one-winged angel off the balcony, or whatever hell he was standing, through the two tables. I thought it worked. I liked the fact that it was a falls count anywhere match, and the match started in the back.
Yeah.
So that was cool and different. good job by all six men. I even took to social media, said that was a hell of a car crash. Enjoyable, fun, live crowd ate it up. And if you listen to the live crowd, because it started in the back, when those guys eventually spilled out into the arena, huge pop.
Yes.
People were so excited to see them out there. So we get rid of the typical entrances. They thought outside of the box on that one. And I'm sure this Escalera de la Muerta will be one hell of a ladder match. And they have set themselves up for something so spectacular. And if AEW ever had the balls to pull the string on it, oh my God, would it generate an immense amount of heat.
And go ahead, tell us.
Well, you have Kenny standing at the top of the ladder. You have Kenny and the Bucks standing at the top of the ladders about to grab the Trios Championships. Whatever scenario you create, one of the elite is about to grab the championships, and then somebody's going to ruin it for them. Who is it?
Go ahead. Tell us.
No, think. Think. It's massive. It's right there. I said it's massive. It's right there. And if AEW ever had the balls to pull the string on it, the elite standing at the top of the ladders.
But what you're saying almost is, excuse the pun, a pipe dream.
Okay, I get the pun. But man, would that be amazing.
I mean, Tommy, I know this is something that's been talked about. I know this is something that people speculate about. But is there a possibility of what Bully's saying actually happening? And here's why.
And I didn't even say it yet.
But we all know. And I know you haven't said it yet. But I know where you're going. But Tommy, it's there. Like, we talk about Dynamite and we talk about how successful AEW's been, but they need that. I think we all agree that one big story that blows up, that one big feud that takes the company to the next level. What Bully is hinting at, and let's just say CM Punk, what Bully is hinting at here, Tommy, don't you think all those things would happen if everybody could do business? Listen, we've talked about it in the course of the 13 years that this show has been on the air. People have gone through a hell of a lot worse than what happened at All Out and have been able to sit down and do business. Could this ever happen?
Could it ever happen? Absolutely, it could happen. Would it ever happen? Don't know. It is a great, I mean, just think of CM Punk versus Kenny Omega. I mean, that's a
million-dollar house.
That's big. Think of CM Punk and FTR versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. These are big, big things. By the way, I thought you were going to say you pushed the ladder off.
No.
Well, you made a lot of money with ladders. It also got me thinking of Christian, Matt, and Jeff all together in a ladders thing.
It's a good idea.
But Christian's a heel, plus I don't know the status of Jeff, and Matt and Jeff will always be baby faces when you're they're ever put together again. It's gigantic money, but then it breaks down to they have to, do what's right for business. And then you're going to get, in a situation where, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart.
If
don't know if that was, it was, we got to experience how good, because of how great they all were in the ring and the matches that they had. But if you think about that, end result was a massive black eye for the industry. And yes, we're still talking about it today, but their careers, and you and Dave and I have discussed this, their careers were never the same once it ended. So where do you go from that? If it's a one-off, cool. If it's hard, and who knows? Because we don't know all the end, both sides to the story. And then there really has to be, like, I don't know, they'd have to be a mediator. And then, I mean, Bully, you know, if there's, when you're working, if somebody feels someone's being too aggressive, it'll break down.
If this was in Vince McMahon's hands and he was sitting in his boardroom or whatever, and people were saying, Vince, no way, it can't work, it can't work, Vince would be the first one to say, don't tell me how it can't work, tell me how it can work. And when you have an idea like this sitting right in front of you, I believe you owe it to yourself and your, forget about yourself, you owe it to your company and your business and your earning potential to at least try. Have a conversation about it. See if there's any way possible. Because if the elite in their backyard are about to grab those trios championships after putting themselves through hell, and CM Punk were to come and tip those ladders over, holy shit, that Black Cloud storyline that I have been talking about in AEW from day one would come to fruition. And the Black Cloud was never supposed to be CM Punk, but he could be that Black Cloud now. So as an owner of a company, and listen, me and Tommy are definitely not seeing eye to eye right now in our friendship. We're not seeing, We're not seeing eye to eye in our friendship. We're not seeing eye to eye in our professional lives, but we understand what's good for wrestling. And if this was happening in House of Hardcore, he would pick up the phone and he would say, Punk, can we have a talk? Can we just bounce? Let me bounce this off of you and see what you think. Because it's so huge. It would generate so much interest. Now you can talk, Dave.
Well, I think the biggest thing is what you just said. It's in their backyard. It's in LA. So, you know, we've had a lot of discussions here when it came to Moxley and Punk. Well, unfortunately, that match is happening in Chicago. So the fans are going to react a certain way. You know, that show out in LA, it might start with fuck CM Punk chants. We don't know. We've heard those chants. So if Punk comes out there and interferes in any other way, you always say you got to think of the TV audience. How is the TV audience going to perceive CM Punk in that moment? He's a heel. He's the most hated man in AEW. That arena is going to boo CM Punk out of the building. Because in this case, CM Punk has to be the heel. CM Punk is the ultimate bad guy. Maybe the ultimate bad guy in the history of AEW.
The Black Cloud.
Yes.
The Black Cloud, who takes it far beyond Punk and, I'm sorry, far beyond Kenny and Nick and Matt. Who was sitting next to CM Punk when he decided to go on his rant after the pay-per-view?
AEW owner and president Tony Khan.
I'd pull him right into the story immediately. There's so much there. There's so much earning potential there. Punk wants to talk about his million-dollar houses that he drew? Great. Prove everybody wrong about you and go draw some more million-dollar houses for the company. But like I said, this takes big balls on AEW's part. This takes an aggressive type of negotiation. This takes an aggressive personality to be able to sit down with these guys in the same room and say, business, guys. The only business is the business of the match, and let's get it done. And the reason, and once again, Tommy will understand this. The only reason I have these types of opinions about turning real negative things into positives is because I remember as a young boy in ECW sitting in the locker room and watching Jim Cornette walk into the ECW arena and shake Paul Heyman's hand. And when you see that happen right in front of your face, you know anything is possible. Tommy, yes or no?
Correct. Same with Paul and Jerry Lawler. But you know, the Lawler dreamer thing came about because there was that third party involved at times, was WWE. The Cornette thing, like I said, that it could have been great business, but it was just a one-off.
Even if it was a one-off. I understand that. But to watch Jim Cornette, who hates Paul Heyman, I mean, I don't know if they still hate each other today.
Yeah.
But at that time, Cornette and Heyman definitely did not like each other because it was Smoky Mountain and ECW and Jim, you know, ECW crushed, you know what Smoky Mountain was able to do. And no disrespect to Jim, no disrespect to Smoky Mountain, because Jim created a hell of a territory out of there. One of the best acts came out of Smoky Mountain in the Gangstas that had tremendous amount of success in ECW. But to see them put all of the differences, real life hatred to the side, shake hands in the best interest of business, that left a hell of an impression on me of what you can actually do.
Tommy?
Yeah, I agree. But that, I would say two things, and you and I have discussed this, you know, back in the day. It's back in the day. It's a different mentality as it is today. And then, you know, you always have to think of the ramifications. You have to think of, like, it's a different world than, you know, ECW in the 90s. It's a different world. You know, you're talking about Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon's not in the wrestling business anymore. But I understand where you're talking, but you also have to think of the other, because, I mean, dude, there's networks involved. There's legit hostile work environment situations.
Oh, give me a break. Involved. None of those people are hostile. They're all a bunch of daisies.
I get it, but this is the world that you live in now. So you have to take a lot of things into account, you know, into account. There was a backstage fight.
Let me ask you a question, Tommy. What kind of backstage fight you think there really was? You think there was a backstage fight like the fights we used to get into?
Correct, but...
You think that there was a backstage fight like
no.
guys like us used to get into?
But what I'm saying is social media and the world knowing about...
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Everyone, Jen Piacenti here, host of Sticks and Stacks, the podcast that brings you the very best action from the world of hockey and baseball. Each week, myself, Sean Drotar, and Nate Lundy will bring you our best picks and talk you through the props, bets, and fantasy advice that can help you become the best fantasy manager in your league, or even just help you win some money. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts, or listen on the SXM app. Free for most subscribers.
We bring in our guest right now, the one and only Snake Sabo. Snake, good morning. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me, and happy holidays to you guys. I think this might be the first time I've been on with all three of you guys, which is an absolute pleasure and an honor. So I love being on here. I wish I could be on here more often, and I appreciate the platform.
And Snake, we have a lot to talk about because I want to promote the new album. You know, I'm sure you've been listening to the show, and we've talked a lot about CM Punk. And then obviously about toxic people and things like that. And I gotta be honest with you right off the bat. It's never been more apparent to me how difficult it is to work with somebody than right now. I can't even look them in the face. I can't even look at Bully Ray in the face because of the take that he had roughly 14 and a half minutes ago when Ariel was playing Heaven and Hell by one of the greatest albums of all time, Black Sabbath's Heaven and Hell, one of the greatest songs of all time. The line of, you know, from that album is in my yearbook. Not only in my yearbook, my brother's yearbook. So many people have that line from that song in their high school yearbook. Who knows, Snake? Maybe even you do. The fact that Bully Ray, Hall of Famer, Deathmatch God, yada, yada. Okay, the resume is long. For him to have that kind of take, it's very tough for me to look at him in the face.
His music opinion is now completely irrelevant from here moving forward.
Nice.
Irrelevant.
Can I ask?
Means nothing.
Wait.
That album and that song helped define a certain part of history in heavy music. And it was the turnaround for Black Sabbath. It was what made them back to being an arena band. Saw them at Madison Square Garden with Blue Oyster Cult on the Black and Blue tour. And being a huge Black Sabbath fan, of course, I had my questions. And as soon as I heard that record and saw them play live, it changed my complete perception of who Black Sabbath was and who they had become. So it was pivotal in my life. And I know all my friends and guys I hung out with and played in bands with, we used to play like the Stone Pony and cover bands and stuff like that. Everybody played Heaven and Hell. Everybody. And then everybody played Mob Rules later on, too. So that era of Black Sabbath, and I see Bully's face over there, and it's just unbelievable. He's dying to lay me away.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
All I said was I didn't like the song. Let me ask you a question. Oh, God. Snake, how many records have you sold worldwide from day one?
I'm told a few different numbers, but over 15 million at least.
Over 15 million. So what do you really know about music?
I'm going to go out on a limb. And I don't think that Bully would ever admit to this. And I don't think Bully's probably ever felt this way in his entire life.
But skinny?
No, you actually do. Can I tell you? I didn't recognize you this morning because you look great. I will say that. I feel like he regretted the fact that he said that earlier. I feel like he's regretted it. He won't admit it.
Well, he didn't only say that he didn't like the song. He also said it sucked.
Yes.
He also yelled at Ariel to take it off.
Yes.
What is this crap? So I think you went a little bit further than just offering an opinion.
Yes.
If it was on my radio, if it was on Hair Nation or on Boneyard, it would be on Boneyard. I would turn it off.
Wow. The world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's heaven and hell. That was in my yearbook, my brother's yearbook. The president, the man who runs the sports department here at SiriusXM, he put that in his yearbook as well. So many people are influenced by that song, Ronnie James Dio, that era of Black Sabbath, and you basically took out your cock and pissed on it.
Oh, my God.
The new album, The Gang's All Here, I love it. Each song, as the kids like to say, is a banger. How was the tour? How have the sales been? And obviously it's created a lot of buzz for the band.
Well, it's been something that was completely unexpected. The record as a whole was probably the most fun that we've ever had making a record. Everything happened that never should really happen. And from the way that we recorded the record, how we got Nick Raskulinis to produce the record, the way that we went about producing the songs, getting Eric Gronwell as the new singer in literally the 11th hour and 59th minute, meeting him for the first time in a room 4 days before we're supposed to do the Scorpions residency. I mean, this just doesn't happen. He's sang and recorded 8 of the 10 songs before we ever got in a room and jammed with them. He was in Stockholm, Sweden, and we were doing it remotely. And we were just running seriously on complete gut instinct and nothing else. Because if we were thinking logically, we would never have gone down that path. And Rachel, Scotty, and I just kind of looked. And Nick Raskulinis, our producer, who became... As a lot of bands, relationships with their producer, he became a member of the band. And for real, the reason why this record is the way that it is literally because of him. We put our complete trust in his vision and his ability as a producer, given his track record. I mean, Alice in Chains, Hailstorm, Rush, Foo Fighters, Mastodon, Stone Sour. His resume is impeccable. And he's a Jersey guy, which makes a big difference. And he's an incredible, not only incredible producer, but a great musician and a great songwriter. So when he came to us wanting to produce a Skid Row record, he said, I want to make a quintessential Skid Row record. And then kind of informed us that he felt that we had really gotten away from the essence of who Skid Row is. And that was a really interesting thing to say, because we've been putting out music for some 36 years now. And he wanted us to reintroduce us to ourselves, and kind of like that fire that burns inside of you when you're a young kid getting ready to start this band and getting ready to, you know, create these songs that you created back in the late 80s, and what inspired you to do it, not from a socio-political environmental standpoint, but more from an emotional place. Your ambition that guided you to go get a job at a music store an hour and a half away, and then all of a sudden serendipitously meeting Rachel Boland and then forming a band out of a partnership because you guys decided to write a song together and it came out really good. And then finding all the people to surround yourself. Everything about it is serendipitous. And so he kind of directed us to find that spirit again. And for me, it was once it clicked, it was easy. I was the 16-year-old kid again in front of my mirror, pretending to be Ace Frehley or Eddie Van Halen or Randy Rhoads. And I think every guy in the band had that sort of moment. And then once we got there, he started taking these songs and he's like, well, we're going to deconstruct and rebuild everything. I'm like, okay, we've never done that before. And so we needed to put our trust in his vision, which we did. And then once we did that, we also realized that if we're letting go, we need to let go of our egos. We need to let them keep them in the parking lot. And so we walked into the studio and we all set up and cranked everything up and went through each and every song. And we would break him down. He'd be like, I love that. I love that. That not so much. But it was done in such a way. He challenged us in such a way that it wasn't condescending. It was inspiring. And you wanted to step up to the challenge and achieve what he was looking for because you want to make the guy happy. That's the kind of personality that he's got. And so he challenged us on all levels, not just a musicianship level, but on an emotional level and on a character level and on a songwriting level, performance level. And so in doing so, we started rediscovering certain things. He would go, I love that part right there, but the part after it, I'm not so sure about. Why don't you do something similar to like what you did in the Beavers of Monkey Business? And it's like, boom, light bulb. I'm like, I know that guy. And it brought us kind of, I don't want to say full circle, because he kept it very much in the now. But it's not easy to retrace your steps, you know, to go back in history. We're long in the tooth, man. We're older men. We've experienced a lot of life. We've got different situations than what we had back then. But the cool thing is that he guided us to a point where we could revisit and embrace the essence and that fire that started everything out in the very beginning.
Can I go first? I love everything you just said, because as you know, I live in the world of professional wrestling. What you just did, you just broke down a wrestling match. What you just did, you broke down a wrestling card. You just broke down a wrestling television show. It was beautiful to hear, because everything that you said, I got. And this is what our listeners, we all start at the beginning. And if I'm your producer, I literally go say, watch Rocky III, because you guys got back the eye of the tiger. But what you just said and how it broke it down, like anyone could pick up. Not anyone, but you could pick up a piano or guitar and play it. But this is why you have sold 15 million albums. And then my job, Bully's job, and when Dave breaks it down, it was beautiful for what you... It was music to my ears of how you broke that down. So thank you for doing it. Because in one second, I understood your business.
Thank you.
I loved it. I loved everything you said. And I hope this album blows up, because how it was... And it's so, what does it say? You don't recognize the forest before you see the trees.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And then it's not even resting on your laurels. But like, and also when you said going back to something, like I've watched some of my own stuff on social media and been like, I forgot I did that.
Yeah.
And I could still do that today.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. I loved it.
Thank you. For us, it really has been an amazing experience. And you talk about the performance of the record. And you're not going to hear many artists say this, but our record label has done an incredible job. They made the record very visible before it was released. They did a lot of great things promo-wise on social media and on traditional media. Like, there was huge posters in the London Tube of the record coming out. Like, we haven't had that since Slave to the Grind. The record debuted in the top 20 in 10 or 11 countries. We haven't had that happen in 27, 28 years. That's unheard of. That's like, we had a number one record in Japan in front of all these bands that I worship and idolize. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, how does this happen? And I think a lot of it has to do with the amount of time and effort and heart that you put into something. Like, there was not one part of any one of these songs that was phoned in, that was settled upon, that wasn't sat there and scrutinized and saying, how far can we take this? Let's keep going until everybody goes, yes. Like, there's a palatable excitement in the room. And I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it, because that's the way it was pretty much every day. And that, coupled with the fact of going out and playing these songs live, they fit seamlessly in the set. Like, The Gang's All Here could be and is played right after Making a Mess, and you don't skip a beat. It fits great. Time Bomb is right before Monkey Business, and they go right into each other seamlessly. And so, you know what? You can never fool the public. You can only hope that what you create strikes a chord with them. And we've been seeing it all across the world from touring. I mean, we went on a European tour not knowing what to expect, and it sold incredibly. And you know, one of the things that was pretty amazing is we played the Forum in London, and it sold out, and you know, like, the owners of the theater brought us a bunch of congratulatory gifts after the show, and t-shirts being sold out and everything. It was just really, like, we all shake our heads, because it's incredible that this is all able to occur so long after it first did. And a lot of credit I have to give, honestly, is to our singer Eric, who has just brought in this new sense of positivity and energy. And he's very mindful, man. He lives in the moment. And it's all about how to create an environment for Skid Row to prosper. It's about the band, and it's about the group, and it's about what can we do together, not only to prosper, but to enjoy everything that we're doing. And that's the biggest thing, man. And that's why things fell apart in the past, because it was no longer enjoyable. And we made a pact, Rachel Scotty and I made a pact way back in the day, that once it wasn't fun anymore, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We had enough confidence in ourselves as individuals that we could make a way somehow to support ourselves in music and support our families when that came to be. But we will never do it in an environment where we're so unhappy that it makes getting up and going to work every day just a horrific experience. And so we said we're going to make a move, and we did.
And Snake, you talking about the past, we were talking about toxicity in the wrestling business for a big portion of the show today with CM Punk and the whole situation there. And LaGreca brought up, you're like one of the perfect people to ask about what it's like to deal with this toxicity. So Dave, I'll throw it to you. What was the specific question that we wanted to talk to Snake about?
Well, let's talk about it, because it's been talked about so many times over the years. And obviously the band Skid Row has turned the page, went to a new chapter, even a new book, and has found success. But a lot of people still clamor for the days of the original band and Sebastian Bach. And it's at the point now where I feel like, maybe even in the case with AEW, where you have turned a page and you move on. Is it worth dealing? And I think you probably already answered the question, but is it worth dealing with somebody who's toxic, where you're walking on eggshells just waiting for the next incident to happen? Or is it like, man, we just, for our own sake and survival, we have to move on and we have to have continued success somehow, you know, in another avenue?
I got into music because I love creating. I love playing music. And I realized that in order to do that to the best of my ability, I have to love the people that I'm doing it with. Like, I can't go out. None of us can go out on a stage in a state of animosity towards one or more members of the band. I'm faking it. I can't go out there and fake it. I just can't do it. I can't fake it in front of an audience that's paid really, really good money to see us play and to see us at our best. And I'm sorry, if I'm out there faking it, that means I'm not at my best.
What happens, what happens if you're in an industry that does fake it, though?
It's a different thing, because you guys don't have to spend the hour and a half that we spend on stage together and then get in a tour bus, a freaking cancer cabin, and drive 12 hours down the road with each other. And even if you have separate tour buses, you're sitting there the whole time going, yeah, but I'm going to have to get to the venue and I'm going to have to be in the presence of these other people that I don't want to be in. So I, again, a lot of people can find it within themselves to deal with that. And they do.
Okay, so we only have a couple of minutes, Snake. The new album is The Gang's All Here. I want to thank you, obviously, personally and for the show, giving us a thank you in the liner notes on the CD and the album. That's much appreciated.
It's well deserved.
And I know you're such a loyal Nation member, so I want to thank you for being a loyal Nation member. And I got to see you out in Pennsylvania. You know, Tommy and Bully, he has a guitar with like Freddie Blassie's face and Ox Baker's face and Brody's face plastered all
Dusty,
over the guitar.
Dusty's the biggest one.
Yes.
It's like the cover of Inside Wrestling or something.
Yeah, I know that you and Tommy have been doing a lot of podcasts about the territories. Why don't me, you, and Snake get together and just do a wrestling and rock and roll? Unless you guys are not going to let me into your little click now, because I, you know, pulled my Black Sabbath thing early. But I think we should talk to. All right. I think we should do a podcast together and just rock and roll and wrestle.
I mean, we want to put one of my goals in 2023. With the blessing of Big Boss Man Eddie Priscilli, is to do more content on the podcast. So I'm all for that if Snake is willing to do
Me
it.
Me too. All right, I love to, you guys. Anything I can do with you guys.
And I apologize, Snake, because I know you're listening to the show. And, you know, everybody's opinionated. And some of the opinions are going to be entertaining and right. And some of them are just going to be flat out awful. I think we heard an example of that earlier on in the show today by Bully.
Well, I hope he can redeem himself at some point in the near future, because it just put a chink in our friendship, I think.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Mary Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa, Marissa Rivas.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.